Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Bible study time of ministry in the Word of God. We're so excited about the opportunity that the Lord has given to us to come together again around the Word. So I'm going to encourage you, get your Bibles, get your notebooks. I can hardly wait to get into this marathon 1 hour in the Word of God. I hope you're excited about it as well. And what a glorious time to be alive. What a wonderful opportunity the Lord has given to us as His people to be able to praise Him, to be able to serve Him, to be able to continue to walk in His covenant. What a blessing. I'm so excited tonight at this opportunity that the Lord has given to us. And I hope you can hear me clearly. I hope everything is clear from where you are. And I hope there are no technical issues. I'm going to get into the Word of God, and I'll have us share a word of prayer before we do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much tonight. I bless and I magnify your name, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given to us to come together again around the Word. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us tonight for this Bible study, this service. Lord, I know we feel your presence here in this studio. I know, God, you've been here long before we came, and we feel your presence so strong through the airwaves. I pray, God, that there be clarity through the teaching and the ministry of your word tonight. I pray, God, that you grant us understanding. And Lord, I ask, God, that there be a light, a revelatory light that shines upon the word even as we receive it tonight. We yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you have your way in our midst. I pray, God, that you will touch everyone that joins us tonight. And I give you praise. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. I want to thank you again. And I want to thank you for joining us, whatever platform you are joining us on. Whether you are joining us on our website, on YouTube, on Facebook, or through our conference line. What a blessing that through technology we can use all of these different methods to get the Word of God out. That's our calling. That's our primary calling. And I'm always very excited to have that opportunity to do so. Remember, this is our season of praise. And thank God for everything going on. And I know that the Lord's hands are upon us. He will keep us. All will be well with us. All will be well with you and with your family. And so just keep on praising Him. And no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, just keep on praising the Lord. Just, you know, take praise breaks from time to time during your day. Praise shouldn't just be on Sundays. Praise Him right through the week. Amen. Just focus on what the Lord has done. Focus on His goodness and His mercy to you. Amen. And as we praise Him, His praise will build a protective armor around us. His praise will cause us to shine. His praise will walk with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and give us every breakthrough that the Word of God has promised us. You know, we will praise our way out of every corner of life. Like we said, the Lord told us very clearly at the very beginning of this season, He said, praise more than you pray. Yes, pray. Yes, of course, pray. But praise more than you pray, because the victory is in our praise. The blessing is in our praise. Amen. So let's keep praising Him. Let's keep blessing Him. Let's keep rejoicing. Don't complain. Don't cry. No matter what happens, don't murmur. Just trust the Lord and keep your focus on Him, and the Lord will take care of you and He will take care of your family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. I want us to get into the Word of God tonight. Would you please go back with me there to the book of Philippians, Paul's epistle to the Philippians, I want to go back to the theme that we were on a couple of weeks or so ago. Thank God for Pastor Tinu, who blessed us with her teaching last week. What a blessing that was. Praise God. And I hope you were blessed with that. And I trust God to help us build, continue to build on these covenant principles that the Holy Spirit is seeking to translate to us, seeking to pour into us, not just in this season, but as we go into our future, because our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense. Our covenant is our defense against every assault of the enemy. Our covenant is our defense against any attack. Our covenant is our defense against everything known and unknown, predictable and unpredictable. Our covenant will be like Noah's ark, and it will carry us through this season of flood, and he will bring us out on the other side and perfect everything that concerns us in Jesus' name. If you believe that, would you say amen? All right, I want to get us into some very exciting things tonight. I don't know how exciting it's going to be for you, but it is really exciting for me. And it's building up off of what we started discussing a couple of weeks ago in Philippians chapter 2, talking about the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. His name is everything to the believer. His name is what he gave us. His name is everything. God the Father gave him his name. He in turn gave us his name. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. When he was leaving, he turned to the disciples and said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And he says, "To them that believe, these signs will accompany them." Everyone that believes will have signs accompany them in my name. Notice he said, in my name. And those signs are modern day signs. Those are not just things he promised for disciples, the church 2,000 years ago. These are the promises that he made to us today. And the word of God is still working, will continue to work in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to just get into the word. So get everything you need and let's get all that the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. It says there in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, even though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, the name of the Lord, which he gave to us, has three parts or three components to it. There are three things about that name that make it as powerful as it is. There are three things about that name that make it confer upon us as believers everything that the Lord promised to us through that name. And in this scripture, like we identified before, we see those three things. We see his identity, we see his authority or his dominion, And then, of course, we see his character. Now, that's usually how we like to think about it. We usually go in that reverse order because we like to talk about his authority. We like to talk about his identity. And then somewhere down there, we talk about his character. But actually, the way the Bible gives it to us, it was his character first. So the Lord gave us, he portrayed his character first. And really, his character is the first step on the ladder of the glory of his name. His character, who he is, and what qualities of godliness he manifested in his physical human life. His character. Those things about him that made him mirror the personality of God, even while he was walking in the flesh. You know, the power was awesome. The glory was great. But it didn't start from there. Everything began from his character, from his birth, from how he grew up in that household. You know, Jesus didn't do any miracles. He didn't perform any miracles until he turned 30. The very first miracle, the first time anything is recorded about any powerful manifestation of the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life through his public ministry was after he turned 30 years old. But all of those 30 years, he was growing, developing, and he was reflecting the image of the Father. He was manifesting, he was displaying, he was exhibiting the personality of God the Father. That's why his character is the first step on that ladder. All right, I want us to read one other scripture. We're going to come right back here to Philippians chapter 2. But let's go and read. We read this too a couple of weeks or so ago in Psalms 8, the 8th Psalm. The 8th Psalm where he talks about the excellence of his name. I just want us to read these two scriptures before I begin to pull out some of the things that are very strong in my spirit to share with us tonight. All right. So in the 8th Psalm, the Bible says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." His name is excellent. That means it's high, it's above. It says, "Who has set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels," Elohim, actually is the accurate translation there, "and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Glory be to God. Now, you see those three aspects of his name flowing from one to the other, both in the scripture we read in Philippians chapter 2, and in this scripture we're reading here in the Psalms. You see his character evolving and flowing into his identity that he conferred upon man. And from that identity, you see his authority or his dominion flowing in the life of man. This was so powerful that the angels looked at God and said, "What is man? What is man that you are so mindful of him? You've made him this God-like being." And of course, they understood the fallen nature of man. But because of Jesus, the excellency of the name of the Lord Jesus translates us into the God category. You and I, as children of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have God status, divine status. We have God's divine nature and ability. We have everything at our disposal that God has made available to us so that we can live on this earth and operate on this earth with graces that are way beyond what is available to the natural human being. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And so, you see why his character is so important. I know a lot of times, again, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. We want to talk about his identity and we want to talk about his authority, and that's awesome. And we will. We will spend a lot of good time in our studies talking about his identity, talking about his authority. Matter of fact, tonight, I'm going to give a couple of minutes, but I've already given myself a target. Once I hit that point in my timer, I'm going to switch. Wherever I get to there, I'm going to switch and go back and start talking about his character, because I really want to give more time to having us discuss and study his character in tonight's service. Now, his identity is awesome, because if you go back there to Philippians 2, you see there where he says, he tells us, you know, after he told us about his character, then he says in verse 9, wherefore God, or therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That's his identity. The name of Jesus, that's his identity. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord asked the disciples, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know that scripture in Matthew chapter 16. And, you know, they said, well, some of them say you are Elijah. Some of them say you are Jeremiah. Some of them say you are. He said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because they knew him as Christ, but they wanted to know that they really understood his identity. They really knew who he was. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. He is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. That's what Christ means. Amen. And so Peter, I think, let's look at the verse here. Matthew chapter 16. He asks them in verse 15, but he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon in verse 16 said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice, that is identity. He says, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. That is identity. So it started from his character, but it evolved into his identity. And Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are not Elijah. You are not Jeremiah. You are not any of the prophets of old. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, awesome, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But notice right after that, right after he established his identity, he then goes on and talks about his authority, his dominion. Because right after that, then he said unto Peter, I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That is authority. That is dominion. Our ability to take authority over the element. Our ability to take authority over the enemy. That's the exercise of the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. But notice the flow of authority began from his identity. You remember that scripture, that Christmas scripture. Sorry, I clapped my hand there. I was hoping if somebody was sleeping, I woke you up. In Isaiah chapter 9, you remember that scripture we like to read during the Christmas season? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 8. Look at what it says here. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice the flow of his character into his identity, into his authority. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son. I'm going to tell you in just a minute. Now, don't you think that any of this stuff I'm saying, I'm just saying it just to, you know, just to be blabbing and to be reading scriptures. There's something extremely important. There's something extremely important about this point that I want to remind you about. I know we've made it. I believe we made it a couple of weeks ago. But I want to make that point extremely strongly again tonight. Because a lot of times as believers, this is one of the things we miss. And sometimes that miss can be costly, because a lot of times we're running to want to delve into his identity. We're running to want to take advantage of his authority, the dominion that is in his name. But a lot of times we're actually running past his character. But you really can't get the ladder, the step, what we step on that ladder to get to his identity, to take on the identity of Christ. You know, when he says we're Christian, we're followers of Christ, and so we take on his identity. So when the enemy sees us, he doesn't see us. When the enemy sees you, he doesn't see you. The enemy sees Christ. When God the Father sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees Christ. We are Christians. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're followers. We have taken on his identity, his nature. That's who we are. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice that his character is the first step on that ladder that we stand on, that enables us to put on his identity, to take on his identity. Yeah, we can be Christian in name. we can be Christian in name, where, yeah, you know, people say, yeah, he's a Christian or she's a Christian. But everybody will know that's just name. And on this earthly plane, the elements recognize that's just a name. I mean, nothing changes on account of our being present or being somewhere. The dominion, the personality of Christ, his light, his glory doesn't shine through because we're somewhere. And the enemy isn't afraid because we're somewhere. So we can carry that name. We can carry it in name alone. But that was never the plan of God. See where he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called. All of that was the flow of the character of God, the nature of God, into Jesus, that then translated into his identity, that then translated into his authority and dominion. So I'm emphasizing this point because I'm going to spend a lot of my time here talking about his character. Glory be to God. Thank God for his identity. Thank God for his authority. Oh, thank God for the amazing things that happen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the response of heaven when we come in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the glory of God that is made available to us when we come in the name of Jesus. Praise God for everything that is available to the believer in the name of Jesus. But there is a flow of his character to his identity, to his authority, that makes all of those things available in the name of Jesus actually manifested in our lives and in our experience. The power of God, the glory of God that has been made available to us is actually manifested through our lives when there is that flow from his character to his identity to his authority. Can somebody say amen to this? So, I want us to take some time and look at these scriptures and look at some of these things that describe his character. And I actually want us to dig in, and I trust God with the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to begin to just focus more and more on that character, that nature of Jesus, and that there'll be a yearning, there'll be a strong desire within each of our hearts to become more and more and more like him. Amen. That should be our greatest aspiration. Amen. Our greatest aspiration should be to be more and more. None of us is there yet. None of us is even close. But it should be our greatest aspiration to be more and more and more and more and more like Jesus. Please, don't make the mistake. Don't make the mistake that a lot of believers make by running right through the place of his character and focusing so strongly on his identity and his authority and his dominion, and constantly expecting power and miracles and breakthrough and all of these blessings. And all of that is awesome. All of that has been made available to us. Praise God. That's our inheritance in Christ. But I'm just saying, please don't make the mistake of emphasizing all of that over his character. His character should be our first and our greatest desire, our greatest ambition, our yearning, the yearning of our heart always should be, I want to be like Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. I want to see things like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want the Jesus personality to be made manifest in my life. Glory be to God. Thank God for all of the miracles. Thank God for the authority and the dominion. But I want to be like Jesus. Remember a song we used to sing several years ago? I want to be like Jesus. Inner my heart. Inside of my heart. I want to be like Jesus. That should be the greatest aspiration of every Christian. I want to be like Jesus. All right. Let's go back here and let's talk about the three aspects of his character. The three aspects of his character that are reflected in his word. The first one is his faithfulness. The second one is his meekness. The third one is his excellence. Okay, so I'm going to have us take some time tonight. I've hit my time now, so praise God. I think we're in a good place. I'm going to have us take some time now, and I'm going to zero in on one of those characters. Now, I'm going to mention something about the other two. Now, we did read about excellence in the 8th Psalm. And then I'm just going to share this very important note with you about the spirit of excellence. You see that where it says in the 8th Psalm, how excellent, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. One of the first most important things, well, I have it as number three, but I want to just mention something there because I don't want to spend much time there. But his name is excellent. And when you talk about his character, you cannot talk about his, you can't skip talking about his excellence. He himself, Jesus, is the embodiment of the spirit of excellence. Now, if we're going to go to his identity and we're going to enjoy the benefits of his authority and dominion, we have to be people of excellence. The character, that aspect of his character, is something that must be manifest in our life. Amen. If you want to thrive and succeed in your life, you must develop the spirit of excellence. You must grow in it. You must constantly demand it of yourself, personally, and in every way possible. Excellence is putting out your best in everything you do in your life and in your ministry. Excellence is doing, is putting out the best. Putting out the best. When you have a spirit of excellence, shoddiness is not allowable in your life. Shoddiness, sloppiness, tardiness, all of those things are no-no when you have the spirit of excellence. Now remember, Jesus operated in the spirit of excellence. The Bible says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." So one of our aspirations ought to be putting on the spirit of excellence. Like, you know, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. The Bible says Daniel had the spirit of excellence. And because he had the spirit of excellence, the Lord promoted him. Excellence is one of the keys to riding high in life. Excellence is one of the keys to being above. That's why he became exalted. His name, he received a name that was higher and above every other name. Because he himself was the embodiment of the spirit of excellence. So as a child of God, you can't afford to be mediocre. You can't afford to be average. You can't be satisfied just doing just enough. Unfortunately, a lot of us believers don't understand the power of the spirit of excellence. We fail to recognize that is a very crucial part of the character of Jesus. And when we take on that aspect of his character, then his identity becomes accessible to us. Then his authority and dominion becomes easily manifested in our lives. Amen. So I'm challenging you. I'm going to leave this off because I don't want to spend much of my time here, but I'm challenging you to take on the spirit of excellence. Excellence is always doing what is right, when it's right, in the way that's right, because it is right in the word of God and right in the sight of God. Excellence is giving all diligence to all you do in life. You can't be the last person. You can't be the one who's shoddy with your work all the time, and then you talk about Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. You can't be the one who's always the late one to work. You can't be the one who's always shoddy about your assignments. You can't be the one who's always at the bottom rung of the ladder and then you talk about Christ. No, you can't do that. Amen. Now, we're not there yet, but it ought to be our aspiration. I'm going to live in the spirit of excellence. I'm going to put on the spirit of excellence. I'm going to aspire to be excellent. You can't be the one that people are always just trying to, you know, just trying to patch. Just please, just hang in there. Let's just, you know, always dragging along. Oh, no. A part of the covenant is you are the head, not the tail. We are above, not beneath. That's the spirit of excellence. Jesus himself was the embodiment of excellence. Excellence is refusing to make excuses for mediocrity, but challenging yourself to rise higher in all endeavors of life and ministry. Excellence is refusing to make excuses for mediocrity. You know how many believers make excuses for mediocrity? Oh, it's because of that. There's always a because. There's always a because. And unfortunately, that's why the enemy a lot of times has our number. He has us locked down in a place where we can't rise as high as the Lord wants us to rise because we don't have the spirit of excellence. Excellence is refusing to make excuses for mediocrity. Refusing to make excuses for anything that is anywhere below that standard of excellence. So we may not be there, but we're aspiring, we're pushing, we're going to go up there. His name is excellent. His character is excellent. So we should be excellent because we carry the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. It is excellence. It's a manifestation of the spirit of excellence to keep your word. Do you know how many believers can't keep their word? Oh, I'll be there by 9 o'clock. But 12 o'clock, you are still praying in tongues that they will show up. Oh, yeah, I'll send that seed to support that work. And I trust God I'll send it in the next 2 weeks. Do you know you can be praying for the next 6 months for that seed to show up? Having a spirit of excellence like Jesus, the Bible says Jesus swore to his heart. You remember, as he struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, I got to leave this and go on to something else. Taking too much time here. But you remember, but this is very important. His faithfulness and his excellence showed up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't feel like doing it. You know the scriptures where the Lord said, Father, all things are possible for you. If you can, just, you know, let this cup pass. But he remembered that before he left, he gave his word to the Father. And you see right through, and I'm not going to get into talking about his faithfulness tonight because I just don't have the time. I'm going to get some things in about his meekness. But you see, when he, right through his ministry, right through his life, as a matter of fact, at the end of his life, you know that prayer in John chapter 17 that he prayed for the disciples, for the church? Remember when he was saying to them, Father, I have manifested your glory on the earth. Father, I have done everything you commanded me to do. Father, the Lord Jesus Christ was reminding the Father that he had fulfilled every different assignment, every single assignment that the Lord conferred upon him before he left heaven. He says, now that I've done that, I have a right to ask this of you. See, many believers, many times as believers, we don't realize that both of those things work hand in hand. We feel like, no, we could just push that aside, that other one aside, his character, his excellence, his faithfulness. But then we want to exercise dominion. We want to exercise authority. Oh, no, we can't do that. You've got to put on the spirit of excellence. Glory to God. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, I want to spend some time here and talk about the meekness of Jesus. That's really a lot of what I want to spend a lot of my time on here in Philippians chapter 2. Now, this isn't a message that, this isn't an aspect of the life of Christ that we talk about a whole lot, and I understand it. I get it. That in the world in which we live, you know, as believers, we have to be aggressive. I mean, we've been taken advantage of for so long. Sometimes the world treats us like we're just pushabouts. People don't regard us once you say you are a Christian. As a matter of fact, many times believers don't want to own up. They don't want to say, I'm a child of God, or I'm a Christian, because they know once they say that, it means people will probably start taking advantage of them. I understand. I get it. But beloved, my prayer for us tonight is that you and I will come into a place of understanding and realization that those two things are not mutually exclusive. Sometimes, as believers, we've acted and we've bought into the lie that if we ever manifested the power of God, the authority and the dominion of God in our lives, then we've got to be like docile human beings, like just people, you know, just walk all over them like doormats, people who just don't ever, you slap them twice on the left, they turn the right, you slap them twice, you knock them on the head, you kick them, you, they just don't ever respond. But that is not true. That's the lie that the enemy has found a way to sneak in to a lot of our psyche. And so a lot of us have laid down, we have taken off the garment of his character, the garment of his nature of meekness and humility, because we want to be tough. We want to be aggressive. We want, you know, and especially in this world with so many enemies, both spiritual and human, though we don't have human enemies, though some people think they are our human enemies, but we don't have it because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers. So this is not where our war takes place. But it's very easy in the world in which we live to want to put aside the character of Jesus so that we can be aggressive, we can be tough. But beloved, these are not two mutually exclusive things. Jesus was meek. He was humble. He walked in humility, and yet he walked in dominion. He did both. He didn't have to put one aside in order to do the other. And even at the times when he was exercising dominion, even in the time when he was rebuking the enemy, even when in the times when he was taking authority over circumstances and situations, he still walked in the spirit of meekness and humility. Amen. Because these two things work hand in hand. His character flows into his identity, flows into his authority and dominion. We don't ever have to take off our spirit of faithfulness, our spirit of excellence, our spirit of meekness, just because we want to defend ourselves so we don't get taken advantage of. That's the lie of the enemy. Our power, our grace, the covenant is for the meek. The covenant is a promise for the meek. Have you read that scripture in Psalm 25? Let's read it real quick. Let's hold that place in Philippians 2 and look at Psalm 25, the 25th Psalm, real quick, verse 9. Psalm 25, verse 9. Look at what it says. The meek, he says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, prosperity, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. The covenant is for the meek, friends. The covenant. The covenant of protection. The covenant of preservation. The covenant of restoration. The covenant of being defended. The covenant of preservation. The covenant of our promotion. The covenant, every aspect of our covenant works through meekness. And Jesus demonstrated that. Go back there with me now to Philippians chapter 2. Look at what he says. Let this same attitude, I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let his spirit of meekness, his attitude, his purpose be in you. And then he describes it. Who, although being essentially one with God, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Jesus didn't struggle to have his position of godliness validated by himself. He says he stripped himself of all privileges. Jesus stripped himself. Do you know, in the body of Christ today, it is actually celebrated to aggressively demand our rights. I'm not saying in the spirit, because in the spirit, we ought to demand our rights. But a lot of times, this is not happening in the spirit. Because you see the frustration, you see the strife, you see the pain, you see the physical aggression. All of that shows you that nothing is going on in the spirit. Because when you take your place in the spirit, automatically, you take your place of ease in the natural. Because you know, what has been established in the spirit will have to come into manifestation in the natural. But have you seen all the aggressiveness and all the fight and all the grappling and all the cursing out and all the anger and all the animosity and bitterness? And I'm talking believers, you and me. Don't look at your name. if you're listening to this message, you and your spouse are watching the same, using the same media, computer, TV, just look straight. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said, no. Mm-mm. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant. Do you know servanthood has become such an unpopular subject in the body of Christ? In major sections of the body of Christ. Servant? Servant? Oh no, not me. Not me. You know, everybody wants to be the head. You know, some things are too menial now. And I can't get to this scripture. I know that for sure because I'm looking at my time. But do you remember that Jesus, in John chapter 13, he actually took a basin of water and took a towel and started to wash the feet of the disciples. And he said to them, I'm doing this to show you an example that the greatest amongst you should be servants. Well, where did we get this theology from? That we all ought to be aspiring. Do you know how much breakup there is in many of our communities, churches, families, marriages, relationships, just because of this seeking to have one up on the other? This refusal to take on servanthood? Come on, beloved. Listen, don't think what I'm saying to you tonight is irrelevant. What the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to communicate with us tonight on account of his word, on account of this ministry tonight, is there is a way to enjoy the fullest blessings of our covenant. There is a way there. And we don't have to buy into the lie of the devil that tells us we need to be like the world. The world celebrates. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said in the world, this is how they celebrate greatness. They say they are great leaders. They rule over them. He says, but not for you. He says, in the body of Christ, let the greatest amongst you be your servants. Servanthood should not be such an unpopular message in the body of Christ. We should happily, like Jesus did, wash one another's feet. I remember several years ago, you know, we used to do a feet washing service. in our ministry, usually we did it towards the end of every year. It was just supposed to be something symbolic, but also, I think at the time it was just in my spirit, you know, both for me and for all of us, to remind ourselves as we went into a new season, a new year, that we were washing away the dirt, we were washing away the failings, we were washing away the flaw, all of the vulnerabilities of the old year and disappointment and everything. And we're going clean into the new year. But in addition to that, there was also this aspect, because we did, Pastor Tinu and myself did. She would wash the feet of the sisters. I will wash the feet of the men. I don't know. Maybe there are still. I know that some of this became a doctrine in some denominations, and it wasn't supposed to be a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. Jesus did it one time to demonstrate, to be an example of humility and servanthood in the body. Of course, we stopped because I think people were more concerned about the discomfort they had, because people were seeing their bare feet, you know, all the things they could hide in their socks. You know, now this, you know, so people are washing, and it's not just the ministers that are washing. There are also people standing around helping them with. So I think we kind of, but just underscore this very important point though. That the spirit of humility and the spirit of meekness is the gateway to the fullest blessing of the covenant. Oh God, I pray that the Lord will enable us, the Lord will grant us grace and mercy and help us gain an understanding of this. There's so much grappling for position and grappling for who has more. And people want to one-up one another, you know, in relationships, in homes, and marriages. They say, I know more scripture than you. You quote two in the Old Testament, I quote five. You quote three in the New Testament, I quote seven. I'm more anointed than you. I spoke to the Lord this morning. When last did you talk to the Lord? With this, a lot of craziness. Putting on the spirit of humility and meekness is the gateway to the fullest blessings of the covenant. No. It's not the lowly ones, it's not the lowest, it's not the insignificant ones amongst us that clean floors, sweep, wash toilets and bathrooms, carry heavy stuff and move things here and there. No. Yes, certainly, you know, by virtue of placement and responsibility, obviously, if certain ones amongst us are responsible for some of these other duties and ministries, ministry of the word, prayer, leading, leadership, and all of that, well, certainly, we don't expect that they'll be multitasking and doing everything when the work of the ministry should also be done by other people. But this is not because of class. You know, this is not because, oh, we're so anointed and we can't do what the common people do. No, that is not true. I barely scratched the surface tonight, but I know that the Lord has helped us. Jesus stripped himself of all privileges. Say that with me at home. Jesus stripped himself of all privileges. He didn't demand his right. He didn't insist. And say, we're just going to blow everything up if you don't give me what I want. No. Taking on the character and the nature of Christ actually helps us to walk in the fullness of his promises. Do you know if you are a faithful person and if you are someone who strongly believes in keeping your word? If you make a promise, you keep that promise. If you you make a vow, you keep that vow. If you assure and ascertain that you will do something, you actually do it. Do you know if you strive to be that way, if you grow in that aspect of your walk, do you know it becomes easy for you to believe in the promises of God's faithfulness? Do you know the reason a lot of people fail to believe that God is faithful is because they are not faithful? Do you know that's true? A lot of times when someone says, I'm going to give you, or I'm going to send you that, or I'm going to do that, many times people have a difficulty believing it. Do you know why they have a difficulty believing it? Because usually when they say that, usually they don't follow through. And so that translates to their relationship with God. The Bible said God is faithful. God is faithful. Do you know how many people struggle to believe in the faithfulness of God? When the Lord makes a promise to you, if you really believe he's faithful, you know what you do? You just go to sleep. You just believe, he made me a promise. He's a faithful God. He's going to keep his promise to me. And I'm not going to lose one wink of sleep until God brings his word to pass in my life. Do you know that's what you do? But a lot of times we fail to do that because we don't walk in faithfulness. The same thing applies to the spirit of meekness. He stripped himself. He humbled himself. Our time is gone, and I know I got to try to stop this now. Close this out. But I trust God that the Holy Spirit, I know he's helped us. I sense his help very strongly, and I sense his presence. I hope you do too. I know this is his word tonight. He's assuring us. One of the things we may have missed in being able to engage fully the blessings of the covenant is this area of meekness, this area of humility, that we need to get back to serving one another. I'm going to come back to this by God's grace next time. I trust God to help me. That we ought to serve one another in love. We ought to serve one another in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of meekness. Be servants to one another. Become obedient. Obedient. Do you know how many believers struggle with obedience? In Jesus, in using and trying to demonstrate to the disciples when they were arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest, he usually will get a child. He'll pull a child and then put a child in the midst of them. Say, look at that child. That's an example of humility and meekness, because they are teachable, they are leadable, they are easy to correct. And a lot of times, as believers, we just don't have that. But I trust God that that changes from tonight. That you and I, from tonight, come into a place where we begin to walk both in our dominion, but also in our spirit of meekness and humility. That we begin to engage in every area of the character and the nature of Christ. That we begin to put on his personality. We begin to prefer one another in love. We begin to look for ways to be a blessing. We begin to look for ways to serve. We begin to look for ways to not to esteem ourselves, not to promote ourselves, not to push ourselves, but we begin to look for ways to serve, to put others before us. That's the context of this scripture right here. The Lord will help us come back to it next week. I hope you've received something. I hope you've been blessed. I've been so blessed just listening to this message myself tonight. And remember, it will be there wherever. I'm sure we have it recorded on our website, recorded on all of these different platforms. So if you want to go back and listen to it, please take the liberty to do that. But remember, the spirit of meekness is the gateway to the fullness of the covenant. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I look forward to our next service, and I look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Let's share a word of prayer together as we close. Father, I thank you so much for your mighty presence tonight. Thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your word. Thank you, Father, for showing us your way. You said the meek you will teach in your way. You will show them the paths of life. Father, we receive the path of life tonight. We receive the path of the covenant. We receive everything that you have made available to us, and we give you praise. And I thank you for my brothers and my sisters, and I thank you for everyone that is joining us online tonight and everyone that will listen to this message afterwards. I pray, God, that your mighty hands will become mightily manifested in their lives, that they walk in authority, they walk in dominion, they walk in excellence, that they will enjoy everything that the covenant that we have with you provides. I thank you for it, Father. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.